to see and catch that on video to encourage you and let you know that God is moving all over everywhere we go. You know, you'll find yourself in very peculiar places when you become a missionary for Christ. I was traveling to Bryant University 2 days ago and found myself smack dab in the middle of the world, it appeared. It appeared as if I was heading into the direction of chaos. I mean, as I'm traveling through the Niagara Falls Buffalo exit, I find myself in the middle of terrorism. I was right there in the middle of it. And then they're talking about this guy who's on the loose, and I'm on my way to this place. Most people are leaving and on lockdown, but I'm on my way to this place with my family. Which is strange, right? And I'm like, this is crazy. But you know, in the car, Becca does this thing. She is a powerful woman of faith. She's here, we're listening to it live as we're like an hour out from Boston. We're traveling in, and she's listening to it, and she says, she bows her head, and she starts praying. She says, Lord, I pray that this man would be found, and God, that you would open a way and make a way that we wouldn't have to be concerned about, you know, lockdowns or this or that. And so she continues praying, and, you know, she just broke into spontaneous prayer, and so we just, okay, and amen, and amen. And I kid you not, I turned the radio back on. What happened? They caught him. I am absolutely positive that God answered my wife's prayers. That she prayed, the radio was off, she prayed, turned back on the radio, hey, we found him, he's in a boat, everything's going to be okay. You know, God will put you in places to push back evil and to preserve life if you just make yourself available. You know that. You are the church of the living God. And you know, Pastor just wanted you to see that. And we wanted you to see that God's moving among his people. In the earth, God is moving powerfully. This morning, I have something special for you. I brought some good friends of mine that have taken a journey with me. And we're going to reflect a little bit about that journey this morning. I need to make sure I'm not forgetting anything. Am I forgetting anything? Anybody? Tell me if I'm forgetting anything. Nobody. Okay, maybe I'm not. I feel like I am. Here's what I like to do before I minister, though. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray that the preaching and the teaching of your word would not be with the speech of man, with the intelligence or eloquence of man, but it would be rather a demonstration of the Spirit's power that your people need in this moment. We pray, God, that you would encourage and strengthen and uplift the weary among us this morning. We pray for your presence above all to saturate our words. We submit ourselves to you and pray that you would be revealed and not us. We must decrease, you must increase. Now hide us in the cleft of the rock so that your glory would pass by and we would be within reach of your goodness this morning. As you pass and journey by us, we love you. We bless you. It's an honor to live for you because you died for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you have your Bible, go with me to Matthew 10:39. If you don't, you can check out the screens. Hey, for those of you who don't follow us on Facebook, we need you to do that. If we don't have your current information, we need that. If you're not following us on Twitter, we need you to do that. If you don't have a Twitter account, get one. If you don't have a Facebook account, get one. It's the way, you know, I don't know if you notice or not, but mail is probably going to die. And I don't say that, but it just seems as if, you know, snail mail, the paper stuff, doesn't seem to be the way to communicate. And social networks and social sites are the way to do that. And so we want to communicate with you as good, as positively as possible, as efficiently as possible. And that helps us do that. So just a little commercial there for our Facebook site and our Twitter site. The scripture here, Matthew 10:39 says, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You know this to be true, church, that if you're looking to preserve your life, the best way to do that is to lose it in Jesus. Is to find yourself lost in a man, in a person, in a Savior called Jesus. Next scripture I want to take you to is Luke 22, 35 to 36. So this is a peculiar scripture. It says, Follow me. Luke 22. I'm going to read out some paper this morning for you. I don't know. You can't trust it at this point. Let me know. And he said to them, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" It's the wrong scripture. No, they got the wrong scripture. I'm good. I'm good. I know where I'm at. This is in here. This is not in here. It's in here. Luke 22, 35 to 36. Read it with me. You could take that off because that's not the right one. 35 to 36. He said to them, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" Now, if you go back to Luke 10, you'll see that Jesus commissions his disciples and tells them, don't take anything with you. He said, don't take any money. Don't take any food. Don't take anything, because really the trip here is short and concise, and you're supposedly going to friends. You're going to family to tell them the gospel. So you're not going to need these things. And I'm going to show you something as you go. I'm going to plant seeds of faith in you as you travel. So you're not going to take anything with you, and I am miraculously going to plant seeds of faith in you along the way. I'm going to reveal myself to you. I'm going to turn bread into many loaves. I'm going to cause water, to flow where it normally wouldn't flow. I'm going to cause blind eyes to open. I'm going to heal. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to put money in the mouth of a fish for you. You're not going to need any money. I'm going to supernaturally provide every one of your needs. And then here Jesus is looking back on that, on what he said. Jesus is looking back on what he said. 36 says, and he said to them, "But now." Everybody say, "But now." "But now he who has money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Times, they have changed. Jesus is telling his fellas, times, they're changed. It's going to get rough, boys. The journey's not going to be so easy. It's a little longer. It's going to be a lot more hostile. It's going to appear as if I'm not with you. You're going to look around, and I'm not going to be there in human form. The way you see me now is not the way you're about to see me. The way I appeared to you yesterday will not be the way that I will appear to you tomorrow. Times, they are a-changing. And every one of us can resound with amen as we feel the explosions rock our nation from within. All over, we feel the groanings of the earth waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. Every one of us feeling a bit alone. Times have changed and we're not among our own. And the journey is long and it's hostile. We're going to need supplies for this journey. You're going to need some provision. And Jesus encourages them, hey, fill up the knapsack. Get some food. Hey, get a sword. Get a sword. Human life deserves to be preserved. Get a sword. Human life is sacred. Get a sword. Defend yourself. there will be enemies of the cross that will try to kill the message and kill the messenger. They're not going to want to hear this. This message of profound and unmerited grace. They're not going to want to hear this. This morning I've come to share a story with you of a journey. You say, I thought you was going to talk about Haiti. I am, but it's so much more. I told you that I was reborn on this last trip. Unlike any time ever in my life, I've been reborn. Something happened to me. My eyes have been opened. I've seen something. I've learned that my faith is more like, it's more like this pack here. Now this pack has gone with me all around the globe. Little did I know when I purchased this pack some 10 years ago where it would go and what dust I would bring back with me from where it went. My faith seems to be more like this pack and more like these sandals. More like a journey filled with wonder and adventure and dust and work and sweat and tears and experiences that I can never, ever pen clearly enough to make you understand how sweet He is. This bag, it represents my faith. My faith is like, more like this than like this. I thought the faith, you know, back when I was naive and misunderstood and didn't know a whole lot or didn't have a whole lot of experiences, I thought the faith would be more like this. I thought that it would be full of information. I thought that if I just acquired enough, you know, how to get your life right in 7 steps and your best life forever, and if I could just get the policies and procedures down, if I could read through the enough information, I could get it right. If I could take enough classes, I could get it right. If I could understand the doctrines of this and the doctrines of that and the doctrines of this, if I could just understand enough information, then I could get my life right and suddenly I would be walking in the faith. But you know what I learned? That faith is nothing like that briefcase over there. It's nothing like that. My faith has nothing to do with my Sunday morning attendance, my Wednesday night attendance, my Thursday night attendance. My faith, you know what breaks my heart the most is that some people think it does. Some people think, Joy, I didn't know you were that human. No, really. This is what breaks my heart the most. Is that when they understand that I live my faith just like the disciples did. That I'm on a journey. And I'm walking on this journey. And along the way I'm learning a whole lot of stuff. And you know, sometimes I make some mistakes. Sometimes I say things that are stupid like Peter. A lot of times I go places, you know, and I'm not prepared to go to the places. I'll never forget, you know, guys, I'll never forget when we walked into that voodoo doctor, witch doctor's house. We walked into this witch doctor's, and God bless them. They all sunshine and smiles and Jesus, yay. And not realizing you just walked into the bowels of hell. Not realizing you just walked into the witch's tent and the witch doctor's hut, and they don't want you there, and it's very likely that they could take your head off. because journeys will take you to places like that. I'm learning along the way that this is what my faith is like. It's like this backpack. And I've asked some of them to bring their packs this morning to recount the journey that we've taken together. These packs, they tell the story of a continual journey in the life of a believer, and that it consists of a process of packing and unpacking, and then repeating that process. And G.K. Chesterton said this. He said, "The traveler sees what he sees, and the tourist sees what he has come to see." The traveler sees what he sees, but the tourist sees what he's come to see. Are you traveling, or are you a tourist? Are you on a journey, or have you come to watch a show? Because if you've come to watch a show, you have a preconceived notion of what you're about to experience and see. But if you're just traveling through life with your faith on your back and looking for Christ to manifest at any moment, I promise you that He does and He will. But if all we do is relegate them to classes and policies and procedures and this thing and knowing that and how do I get here and what's my 3 steps to success and what's my 5 steps to my 6-year goal on a 10-year plan? What kind of nonsense? I love the scriptures found in John 4, verse 6. It says, "Now Jacob's well was there." There was a well somewhere that was called Jacob's Well, and it was from a long time ago. Hear me, church. This well was from a long time ago. It was planted way back in the beginning. It was dug way long time ago. And it's a well, and it holds living water. And if you could just but find it, and our patriarchs and our matriarchs dug this well, and Jesus finds his way to the well. Because it says that he is wearied from his journey. Jesus is wearied from his journeys, so he sat by the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And if you read further, you'll see that his disciples went to get something. You know what they went to get? They went to go fill their knapsacks up with provision. They went to, "Hey, it's time, guys. Go get your provisions and put them in your backpacks." Because the life of a believer is this. That along the journey, Jesus gives us. And he gives us. And he gives us. And pretty soon, you know, there was a day when we walked up that mountain, about the 3rd day in, we walked up that mountain and we shoved our backpacks full of bread. Full of bread. There was no, everyone. Jeremiah, he carried 150 pounds up 2 hours of hiking, up steep torrential terrain. He carried a 150 pound bag, a sack of bread. And it was like a trash bag, 150 pounds, just carried it. Provision up the mountain and we fill up our packs because we've been fed. I've eaten. You've eaten. The life of a believer consists of packing, receiving, and then we get to a place that's along a journey where we sit down and we feed those who are weary. We feed them. You pack in life, and you unpack, and then you repeat the process. This is the life of every believer who claims the name of Christ. It's not this, because it's hard to get 150 pounds of bread in a briefcase. It's hard to pack peanut butter in a briefcase. They just don't fit. Peanut butter won't fit. I wouldn't be able to shut it. And what? That doesn't even make any sense, Troy. Why would you put peanut butter in there? Why would you put bread in a briefcase? This isn't even made for traveling. This isn't made for a journey. This is made for meetings. I've never seen more meetings in all of my days than in the kingdom. We meet and we meet and we meet and we talk about meeting and then we schedule more meetings and we meet some more, then we meet some more, and we problem solve and then we troubleshoot and then we brainstorm and then we just walk around and we meet some more. Let's go to Starbucks and meet. Let's go to Caribou and meet. Let's go to Panera Bread and meet. Hey, let's meet at my house. Let's meet at Chutubu. Let's meet at the church because everybody likes to meet at the church. Let's go meet. Meet. Now, come on. Let's go do. Yeah. Let's get a backpack, throw some turkeys in there on Thanksgiving, and take them to somebody that's hungry. Yeah. Hey, you want to meet about it? Let's go do it while we meet about it. You might have heard me say this often, you know, while I'm walking. Hey, come on, walk with me and talk with me. Come on, I got to go somewhere. But if you want to talk to me, you got to walk with me, because I'm going somewhere. I'm not standing still in the kingdom, because I found that Jesus doesn't stand still. Where he was yesterday is not where he can be found tomorrow. He's somewhere different because he's always on a journey. And if you're a disciple, then you better get a backpack and let go of this briefcase, because that right there is not where it's at. It's over here. That's just full of information. You can know all the doctrine you want. Nobody cares. You have all the titles you want. Nobody cares. You can be a doctor, MD, LSD, PQM. You can be whatever you want. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But you know what they do care about? When you walk 2 hours up a mountain carrying bread and peanut butter, and you're giving them life. And then you look at them in the eyes and you say, J-Z, Reme-U, Jesus loves you. You give them clothes and you clothe the naked and you feed the hungry. And you say to them, J-Z, Reme-U, that witch doctor don't love you, but Jesus sent me to tell you he loves you. Amen. That's where it's at, church. I could preach today, but I'm going to go ahead and let... Now, what we're going to do here is the team's going to come up one by one, and they're going to give you a 60-second infomercial of their reports and results. These are reports and results from those who chose to journey. And so first I want Dion to come up and share his. There's a microphone right there, D. Come on, bring it. Yeah. Give Dion a hand.
Hello. Good morning. I am Dion Whitfield, for those of you that don't know me. I was fortunate to go on this last trip to Haiti. It was my third trip to Haiti. And every time you go to Haiti, you get changed on the inside, you know, whether it's like, oh, I'm saved now, or, you know, I've got a new course in my life. But this one was completely different. This one was just a breath of fresh air. I think Troy said it that way. It was so renewing in my spirit, because I was getting really weary before we left. Just, you know, one thing after another, being busy, and just going there, it was really just a complete renewal of my spiritual life. And I just want to share a story of one of the things that happened with me and one of the orphans there on the orphanage. Before they go to bed every night, we have a devotion on the shikun, which is like a little gazebo type thing. And they're playing, before devotions, they play worship music. And I'm sure not a lot of you have heard a bunch of little Haitian kids singing, but it's the most beautiful thing in the world. Like, you couldn't imagine. I mean, those of you that have been, you would know. It's like them doing worship is the most beautiful sound I think I've ever heard in my life. And I listen to a lot of music, and I like to, you know, find, you know, cool music. But I would listen to them doing worship over anything, you know, any time of the week. But after the whole devotion time, there was a little girl that, her name's Claremont, and she's maybe like 12, what did you say, 11, somewhere, she's younger, and she plays guitar, and she sings, and she does worship for them often, and afterwards, I got a chance to sit down and play with her and play the music and, you know, like write, you know, just play some songs. And it really touched me because she's such a worshiper. She has such a calling on her life, and she's so anointed, and she's, you know, not older than 12 years old. So it was just a beautiful thing. She'd been playing for 2 years, and she was better than, you know, anyone I've ever seen do worship, because she's just so beautiful and so anointed when she plays. And I got to sit down with her and play a song, and she was playing these chords, and I kind of picked up on it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I like this a lot. And she was like, and because she's, you know, so talented. And so I'm playing with her. And I look at her and I say, when I come back, I'm going to write a song to those chords that you've just played. And together that will be our worship song. And when I come back, I want to share a heart to heart with you what I wrote. And I want to, you know, write this thing together. And so it's kind of my mission now to come back with something that I can share with her and write a song with her. And, you know, so that was my thing. Thank you.
Give him my time. And so, you know, this is what the journey will do. The journey will give you a spiritual song. It'll give you spiritual renewal. It'll put a new song in your heart. You see, you can't learn a new song by information. I can give you all the how-tos, and I can give you the manuals, and I can give you the notes. But the only way you learn a song, you get a song inside of you, a new song. Not an old song. Not one you already know, but a new song. One that God gives you. Now suddenly, you're going through life, spiritually renewed, singing a new song. Andrew's going to come now, and he's going to give us a 60-second commercial. Give him a hand, Andrew.
I'm Andrew. I think that we've all learned something big while we were in Haiti. There's so much more out there that people here don't know about. People take things for granted when we have way more than we could ever ask for. While we were in Haiti, we were at the top of the mountain passing out bread, and people would be fighting over a piece of bread with butter on it. And here, we throw those things away. We don't value it as much as they do because they need it. That's coming back, going about our everyday lives. It's definitely changed me and my friends. And it's just a wonderful experience, and I would do it again if I could. So.
Thanks. Every night we would share reflection, or every morning we would share reflections based upon the previous day. And we met for a Haiti party to kind of, you know, just get together once we got back, and, you know, we got Bree back safely out of the country of Haiti. Her passport was stolen. And I asked them to give final reflections. And this is what Andrew said in that final reflection. He said this: none of this matters. When he said it, boom. None of this matters. And really what he was saying, look, I've gained a proper perspective on life because I've taken a journey with Christ. And I've learned what matters and what doesn't matter. And my friends, he says, none of this. He sat in class and he looked around and said to himself, none of this matters. He realized what matters and what doesn't matter. And that's what a journey will do for you. Briefcase can't do that, but a journey with a backpack on your back full will do that for you. It'll give you proper perspective. Next, Doug's going to come. And Doug, now, as Doug comes, let me introduce my team here. Now, I just want to let you know that none of these that are coming are especially religious. Can I just say that? None of them are especially religious, which is good, because me neither. And their experiences, come on, Doug, their experiences are, you know, unique and original. So, Doug, everybody, give it up for Doug.
Good morning. I'm Andrew's father, by the way, and I was, just before I get into my notes, I wasn't planning on going to Haiti, and Dion had to drop out. Andrew was going with his buddy Dion, and Dion wasn't able to go. He didn't have the financial wherewithal and had some other obligations he was going to have to deal with. So Andrew asked me, Dad, you want to go? I said, well, let me sleep on it. And 24 hours later, I said, yeah, let's go. My son Andrew's 18, and he'll be graduating and going off to the Navy in August, which I'm very proud of. And
yeah.
We did this together, and it transformed us. And by the way, by the grace of God and family, Dion was able to go at the last minute.
He did go, right.
It was wonderful.
I think God wanted Doug there. Amen? I think God wanted Doug there.
Thank you. So here's my thoughts. Let me get to the right page. Haiti, you can't look more than 30 feet in any direction without seeing desperate people, starving animals, garbage, rubble. As soon as you are off the plane, as soon as you step out of the airport, it's there. Rubble is everywhere. The smell of burnt trash is constant. They don't pick up their trash. They have no resources to do that. They burn it, and there's smoke everywhere. Yet the island is beautiful. It's extraordinarily beautiful. The children, as Dion indicated, the children are the most amazingly beautiful children that you will ever see as long as you live. They're always smiling. Except for the children that you see in the severe malnutrition ward in the hospital. Little baby that we thought had been burned from the waist down, 10 months old. We didn't know it was in the severe malnutrition ward. I said to the nurse, I said, how did she get burned? And she said, she's not burned. This is the severe malnutrition ward. And that's what happens to their skin. It peels and rots. I don't have this in my notes, but these guys over here prayed and laid hands on that little 10-month-old. Troy and I just stepped back and cried, and these kids prayed and prayed. The baby was crying, uncomfortable, squirming, miserable, and I'm not an overly religious person, not an overly religious man, though I do believe. I have a hard time showing. But I saw this baby stop crying, and her eyes got big, and she looked up. She looked up at her grandma. Her mom wasn't there. Her grandma was there. And she stopped crying, and she seemed to be comforted. I don't know what occurred, but it was amazing. It was extraordinary. When we left the hospital, we don't have a picture, but if you can see the picture, you have to see this picture. Up in the sun, there was a rainbow, there was a ring, a halo around the sun when we left the hospital. It truly was amazing. The adults have a look of despair, desperation, simply trying to survive, to feed their children, pleading for anything that you might be able to give them. Rebecca gave a lady, I saw this, Rebecca gave a lady her flip-flops. They had nothing. She took them off her feet and she gave them her flip-flops. That was wonderful. But it was so sad because another woman who had nothing saw it and ran. She ran up to Rebecca. Do you have more? Do you have more? More flip-flops. I need flip-flops. Rebecca didn't have any more. She had nothing. She couldn't help that woman. And that woman was so sad, so disappointed, because we couldn't put shoes on everyone's feet. We couldn't give her a simple $2 pair of flip-flops. I saw men with shoes that were half gone. They simply had their toes in the front half of the shoes. They have nothing. You, CNC, you have a tremendous gift. You have an asset from God. These young people, Jeremiah, and these folks, these children over here, they're not children, they're men and women. They have done a wonderful thing. They have the Love Haiti Fund. You have Destiny Village. Destiny Village is a diamond. It is an oasis. The children that are there are so blessed. I just simply ask that you support Destiny Village and the Love Haiti Fund in every way you possibly can, whether it be at a dollar bill, a $5 bill, or to travel there and assist. You give a dollar, that dollar will go to a bag of rice that will go into the hands of starving people. There's no other organization that you can do that with, but you have that gift right here in your own house of worship. Please take advantage of it. Thank you.
Doug shared in his reflection. And by the way, that little baby girl, I'm positive she lived because the team, Jeremiah and the Love Haiti Fund, paid for all of the medicine on that floor. And so she was able to be fed. And I'm positive God sent us to save her life. But Doug said this, there's beauty among the trash. Did you catch it? There's beauty among the trash. And this is what the journey will do for you. The journey will give you redemptive power in Christ. It will give you the revealed redemptive power of Christ. That you can see a thing the way it is, but you can see a thing the way God made it. And that is what a journey will do for you, but a briefcase won't. A journey will show you that there is redemptive power in Jesus, in journeying with Christ. Next, Alex is going to come. And as he comes, come on, Alex, where's the mic? Give him the mic. And as Alex comes, this guy right here, he changed my life. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, my name is Alex Kramer, and it's my second time being to Haiti. And when I got back, you know, it hits you when you get back. You're exhausted. But I was driving on the highway, and I was all by myself. And I had the radio off, and I had some time to think, obviously. And something just hit me, and I truly believe it was God just telling me that before I left for Haiti, my mother, as a graduation present, got me a new MacBook the day before I left for Haiti. You know, it's like, so I get back, and then I was driving, and I'm thinking to myself, something hit me in my head, and it said, my life is about, I have everything I've ever wanted in life. I'm spoiled, and I bet you a lot of people in this room can agree with me, and I have everything. I got that new MacBook. I have everything I've ever wanted. And my life goal is to make sure I can make people who don't have everything they want have as good of a life as me. And just give back as much as I can my entire life. And just be able to let other people have the life that I have. Because there's a lot of people, especially in Haiti, that just aren't as fortunate at all. And it's just, what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life is just try to figure out ways, whether it's in Haiti, it's on the other side of the world, it's in Ohio, in Cleveland, Ohio, to volunteer at the Cleveland Food Bank. Just make sure as many people as I can are comfortable. So thank you.
Thank you. These are 18-year-olds, most of them 18 years old. 18 years old. Took their spring break and went to Destiny Village in Haiti. And they could have went somewhere else and partied. And they chose rather to take a journey with Christ. Alex said this the other night, my life is about helping others. Purpose is revealed in the voice of God when you take a journey. Purpose is revealed in the voice of God. He said, I've never heard the voice of God. Take a journey with Jesus. And suddenly, you will. You'll hear it. Next, Therese. Therese, come on. Give it up for Therese.
Hi. I'm Hi. Therese. This was my second trip to Haiti, and I went last June. And right when we turned down the road that Destiny Village is on, Pastor Troy says something that's stuck with me ever since. And it was right after we hit the first bump in the road, and he goes, it's a bumpy road on the way to Destiny. And for me, I've always wanted to be a doctor. I knew since I was a little kid. And in eighth grade, I decided I wanted to do mission work. And I always said, oh, I'm going to build my own children's hospital in Africa. And my goal was save the kids, change their lives. They'll grow up and change the nation. I got a bracelet this year at Destiny Village, and it says, Destiny Village, Haiti, change a child, change a nation. God put me there for a reason. I found my destiny in Haiti. With God, you can do anything, and you never know where, but God'll show you your destiny.
Thank you, Therese. A lot of people in the kingdom, I feel and sense, that have lost their dreams and lost their destiny due to a briefcase religious experience. But a journey, it'll confirm your destiny. It'll confirm your dreams. It'll confirm what God spoke to you when you were a little boy, when you were a little girl, and God gave you a dream, and God gave you a destiny. He put that eternity inside of your heart, and He planted that seed of hope there, and God will confirm it if you'll just take a journey with Him. Next is Brianne. Brianne, take the mic. Come on up here. You give it up for Brianne. Now, Brianne and I spent one extra day in Destiny Village in Haiti. And well, I'm going to let her share a story, and then I'll come back.
Hi, my name's Brianne. This is my first trip to Haiti. It was Saturday. It was our last day there. And we were in St. Mark, and we, got off the truck to get machetes. And I, came back, and my bag was stolen. And, I mean, I was upset. It was just money and clothes. They needed it more than I did. And so I was upset about that, and we ended up going back to Destiny Village, and one of the little girls, she's probably 12 or 13, her name's Clementa, and she knew that I was really upset. All the presents I had bought for my family were in there, money, clothes, and she knew I was upset about it, and so she actually gave me this bracelet. It was right off of her that she wears all the time, and it really touched my heart. I automatically started crying. I was so embarrassed, and I started crying, and she just was trying to comfort me. And so eventually the night went on, and we had devotion, and one of her friends brought me this note. It was from her, but she didn't want to give it to me. And it said, Bree, you can get one of my purses. She makes purses. Keep it as a gift. Every time you using it, you can remember me. Love you. See you tomorrow. I will always remember you. And that really touched my heart. It really touched my heart, and I didn't know how to take it, and I never saw her that night. So the next morning I woke up and found out my passport was gone, and so I was really upset. I was in my room, and I didn't get to see her because she had left for school. And so we were trying to, I didn't know if I'd be back if we found my passport, if we got me home, and so I was upset that I wasn't going to get the purse. I wasn't going to get to talk to her. And then I ended up coming back for the night, and she came and found me and took me and gave me one of her purses that she made for me. And just, they don't have as much as we do, and they have so little, and they just give back so much. And it just touches my heart that they give back more than they have.
Thank you, Bree. Now, I've heard of a prophet's reward, but never an orphan's reward. She shared this, a gift from an orphan she received. A gift from an orphan. You know, God'll reward you if you take a journey with Him. God saw something so amazing in this team, and specifically He chose to with his power step aside and allow her to be apprehended one more day to set her apart and to speak with her. And you know, I sense that God wants to do that with a lot of us. That He just wants you to know that you're so special. That He wants to give you the reward of an orphan. And what's the reward of an orphan? To know that God cares for you and God provides for you supernaturally. That you don't have maybe parents this way, but God will be your parent. And God will provide for you supernaturally and set you apart and mark you specifically for greatness. And I believe that for many of you in here this morning. Next, Angela. Angela, come on. Angela is amazing. And she's smelling much better this morning than she was on the last day of the journey. But she's smelling real good. You're smelling good, Angela.
Hi, guys. I'm Angela. And going to Haiti, I was really nervous. I knew some of the kids because I went to school with them, but I didn't know everyone and wasn't really close. So when we all got on the airport, I got to know everyone. And when you first get to Haiti, people that have been there, they got out, they run to the kids, they hug them. Me, Bree, and Lauren kind of were like, oh, like, hey, kids, like, how you doing? But it was so cute because you just see them smile and they come up and hug you. And to see them, like, you just feel like, wow, like they don't even know you, but they want to give you so much love. And the first night of devotions, like, I was like, wow, this is wonderful. Everyone got around. They were sitting on our laps. We were all just intermingling, and I felt like a family. Like, it was so wonderful. And then every night I journal in here about the trip because when I'm older, oh my God, sorry, I'm going to cry. But I don't want to forget, like, the family I made in Haiti. It was just wonderful for everything. Oh, I can't finish. I don't get emotional.
You sure are emotional now.
I don't know.
Come over here.
Okay. But I don't want to forget the family I made in Haiti. Like, our team is so close. Like, the children, they wrote the cutest stuff. And, like, when I'm older and I can't remember, I can look back and read that I made a family and it'll be forever.
That's good, girl. That's good. You know, love is expanded. Love is expanded on the journey. You'll get family. You'll become family. But if you stay with the briefcase, information has no emotion. Huh? Information is not relational. This kind of faith over here binds us together forever. You're part of a family. You're part of a family. Always will be. Always will be. Next, Paul. Give it up for Paul.
Hi, I'm Paul.
Hi.
This is my first trip to Haiti. And really didn't know what to expect, but I have to say my favorite part about the whole entire trip was hanging out with the little kids, you know, and at the orphanage, because I love being with little kids, no matter, you know, what. The thing I noticed the most about the kids is that they're never sad. They're always happy. I mean, no matter if it was early in the morning getting up for a church devotion. I mean, I hate getting up early. And these kids are just, like, up and out of the bed, smiling, you know, they're just so happy. And I was still in bed. Yeah, they were just always so happy. And I remember, one of the things I remember the most was going to the orphanages down the road that had absolutely, and when I say nothing, I mean they literally had nothing. Like, the clothes on their back were about the only thing. And we brought food, candy, and clothes with us. And I remember getting off the truck with, you know, bags of candy, and they went right past the candy just to give you a hug, you know. And, I mean, they have nothing. They didn't look at the food, didn't stop, you know, and just went straight for the love, you know. I mean, it was just awesome to experience something like that. And, yeah, I'll never forget that. Just, they don't want, it's not the food. They, you know, we could have showed up with nothing, and I think they would have been just as happy with that. So that's
thank
it.
Paul. And our final reflection, Paul. Paul said, I miss the children. And that's what a journey will do. It'll restore your purity. It'll take away the offense. It'll take away the hardness. A journey with Christ will always restore purity. But information in a briefcase cannot do that. Next, Jeremiah. Jeremiah Burris, my son, is going to come and share.
Thank you. Hello. Oh, it's kind of loud.
Coming in hot.
All right. When I started the Love Haiti Fund, I did not expect it to come this far. But it's definitely no accident that it has. It's no accident that this team was put together. It's no accident that we raised $20,000 in a year for the nation of Haiti, right? Awesome. So, yeah. I'm just going to talk about kind of how much easier it was to have this team. I've been to Haiti about 5 times now, and this trip was probably the most, was unlike any other trip because of the fact that we had this team. This team was different than any other team that has gone to Haiti. Everybody had such a focus and a sense of camaraderie and empathy towards the people of Haiti at the same level, and we were all focused on doing one thing, and that was to help people. And so being able to have these people with me and do all the things that we were able to do was just awesome. We were able to go to a hospital, clear out a whole floor, like you said. We went up a mountain, fed everybody, had a huge party on the beach. It was just unlike anything any team has ever done in Haiti before. And having this team with me has just been such a blessing from God, honestly. And like I said, it was no accident that it happened. So thank you.
Thanks, JB. There's power and importance in leadership. The power and the importance of leadership. I understand we're a little bit past 11:30. Just give me 10 more minutes. We'll be done. I promise you. But it's good stuff. There's power and importance in leadership. When you take your step and you step into your position of power and leadership in the kingdom, you suddenly now open the doors of heaven over certain areas and over certain situations. Little did Jeremiah know, little did we know, when we made a $1,000 investment to take our child to Destiny Village in Haiti, did we know what would happen in his heart as a leader? And then suddenly, bang. So step into your power and your position of a leadership in the kingdom. Lauren, come. Come on, Lauren. Give it up for Lauren. You're good. You're good. Hello?
Hi, guys.
Hey, turn your mic on.
No? Hey, okay. I'm Lauren. This trip to Haiti completely changed my life. It was my first time going to Haiti, and I completely fell in love with it. Everything down there, it's just so different from here. And we literally, we took a bag of rice and beans and stuff, and it fed them for a couple days at least. But knowing that we help people for a couple of days just, makes your soul feel so good. This trip completely reaffirmed my faith in God. I feel so close to Him now. It just completely changed my life. We went down there to change our lives, and in reality, everything down there changed ours. And it was just amazing, and I hope you all can go because it's great. So, thanks.
Hey, you take a trip with Jesus and you'll be redirected. Redirected. Redirected for God. Maybe you found yourself going one way. No, but if you decide, I'm going to walk this faith out, God will redirect you. He'll speak again a second time. Michelle, welcome Michelle as she comes this morning. We got one more after this. One more. Huh? I see Ralph.
Hi, I'm Michelle, and this was my third trip to Haiti, and I love being a mother. It is my greatest joy to be a mom to my son Bobby and my daughter Trisha, but now I get to be a mom to 44 beautiful children at Destiny Village that my backpack and I have been blessed to go visit 3 times. And it just blesses my soul to see the smiles on their faces when all they receive is just my hug. This time I've got, these are colorings that my children made me this last trip, from Enzo to Merriman to Florisman to Mark. And then my older boys, they've even texted me since I've been back. HP Aberson says, one night he says, "Good night, Mommy, I love you, and I already miss you." And Whistler said, "May the Lord watch over you tonight, Mom, and His angels watch all over your property. And I love you and miss you." And then he said, "Please tell Lauren I said hello." Whistler says hi.
And by the way, Lauren, hello.
See, the Bible says in Psalms that children are the heritage of God. And I love how the Message says that children are God's best gift. Every child needs to know that they are God's best gift. And why I love being a mom, you see, because then I receive God's best gift.
Ralph, come up here. And Trish, come up here with Ralph.
Oh, well, this is my first time going to Haiti.
Come on
up. I loved
it.
Come up here. I'm Ralph. Hello. It's my first time going to Haiti. I enjoyed every moment of it. I miss everyone there, and I hope and pray I could go back. One young kid, Gardenel was his name. We became closer day by day. Every time I would see him, he'd say, "What's up, man?" And I would say, "What's up, little man?" Every day, every time I would see him, every moment, "What's up, man?" On the way home, I was in the car with my dad and sister, and I kept hearing that voice, kept hearing it over and over. And I would just tear up in the back, trying to hide it, not trying to be too loud about it, try to keep it quiet. But when I got home, I just couldn't control it. I miss him so much. I miss everyone there. And I hope and pray I can see him again.
Hi. This was my third trip, and when I came home, it didn't feel like home. Everybody said, "Welcome home, Trisha." And I just wanted to cry and say, "This isn't my home." I felt like my home was Haiti. And as I prayed about it and thought about it, "God, I'm so sad. I just want to be back. I don't want to have to use these keys anymore. I want to go home." And God said, "Haiti's not your home either. I brought you there to show you and give you this desire to tell people about me, because here when you tell people about Jesus, like, yeah, whatever, I don't need him. When you go to Haiti and you tell a child that Jesus can heal them, that Jesus can feed them, they care, they get excited. And what I learned there more than ever is that God has instilled urgency in me to tell as many people as I can that you don't need these to go home, because your home is in heaven. And that's where there's gonna be no more pain and no more suffering. And that's when I'm truly going to be happy, is when I'm home and I don't need these anymore." So I just want to encourage you guys to tell everyone about your home in heaven with Jesus that he is making for you right now. Tell people that they need him, because then you're going to feel happy, you're going to feel your purpose, and you're going to feel like you're home.
Guys, stand up. On my team, stand up. Haiti 2013. All right, they need to go, so you guys go load up and get out, and I'll be right behind you. Just two more minutes here. Ralph said, "I hear the cry of a little boy from a distant land. I hear the cry of a little boy from a distant land." If you've never heard the cry of God, the cry of God can only be heard in a journey. It can't be heard through information in briefcases. I don't care how many classes you get, how much knowledge you acquire. The cry of the heart of God can only be achieved if you pick up your backpack and you live your life of faith, expecting Jesus to arrive at any moment. And you heard Trish, she preached, didn't she? "This isn't my home." And church, I want to tell you, this isn't your home. This isn't where we belong. We're made of different stuff than when we began. There's a song I hear says that. We're made of different stuff than when we began. with children from eternity locked inside of time for just a moment. We have this privilege. We have this privilege to walk on the earth, this ball of dirt, to walk on the earth and journey with Jesus. And to manifest faith wherever we go with it on our backs. We carry our faith with us and we learn along the way. And we allow this journey to inspire everyone. So this morning, to those who've never traveled with Jesus, I just want you to do this. I want you to make a decision today that your faith would be like this backpack. Make a decision. That's all it takes to say, I'm making a decision to walk with the Savior of the world. I'm going to make that decision today. Secondly, to those who've traded their packs for a briefcase, to those of you watching online who have traded this for this, I'm going to ask you to evaluate. To evaluate your faith walk and see where life is, because life does not exist in the exchange of information. Life exists in a relationship with a journey with Savior. I'm going to ask you. Jesus is asking you, let go of your doctrine. Let go of it. Let go of your staunch positions religiously. Let go of it. Let go of your titles. Let go of it. And grab a hold of your backpack and walk with me so I can talk with you, so I can breathe life into you, so I can give you dreams and I can reveal my voice to you. And to those who've been injured along the way, I understand the road to destiny is treacherous. It's bumpy and hard and dusty and hot. Yeah, we're going to get bumps and bruised. We're going to grow irritated with one another. We're going to become offended, but we don't have the right to be offended anymore. We're on a journey, and the journey means we must walk together. We must look out for one another on the trail. Because there's people out there, there's a thief out there that wants to steal your identity. He wants to lie to you. He wants to confuse you. He wants to hurt you. And he wants to keep you away from the beloved of God. And so if you're hurt, go in the closet. Go back to your closet. Dig out your backpack. And once again, make a commitment to walk on the journey with Christ. Don't give up on it. It's too important. There's a village of hungry, starving Haitians waiting for you. They're waiting. There's a community waiting for you to walk in your faith. And we're so distracted with offense, and we're so distracted with doctrine and staunch religious position. Just pick up your backpack and let it go and see the countless thousands of thousands that await the Word of God. And to those who continue to thrill us and inspire us as you journey along, bravo. Keep walking. Don't grow weary in well-doing. I know it's hard, Geraldine. I know it's hard, Lana. I know it's hard, Rob. I know it's hard teaching little boys whose parents don't care. But keep doing it. Because you inspire me, Rob. You inspire me. I'm like this guy. He builds engines with little boys and he teaches them man stuff in the kingdom. Keep singing, don't lose your song, man. Don't do it, don't let go. I don't care how rough it gets. Because you inspire me. You inspire the person to the left and right of you when you live your life out of a backpack. The world sees. Church, the world sees. They're thrilled by it. They're overcome. They tear up.
Everything inside of him says, where have I been? What have I been doing? This 18-year-old boy starts a fund, and suddenly he's changing the community of Avon in the region. Elyria Catholic now, and it's spreading. The gospel of the kingdom is spreading. Don't quit, Dave. Don't quit writing, man. Don't quit, Christy. Don't quit, Eddie. And don't give up. I know it's hard, but don't give up. Roger, don't let go of those little boys over there in the project. Don't let go of them. I'm inspired. I watch you and I'm inspired. And everybody else is inspired. This is my altar call. If I mentioned you anywhere in there, I just want you to stand to your feet. If I mentioned you anywhere in there, if you felt the tug of God on your heart, just stand to your feet. Anywhere in there. Come on, just stand to your feet if you felt it. If you felt it, wherever it was, if you felt it. Come on, all over this place. Just stand on your feet. Altar ministers, come on. Come on forward. Altar ministers are going to come forward. And at the conclusion of the service, I'm going to invite Mike to come. And after, at the conclusion of the service, all of you who stood, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the word that was revealed today, the destiny and purpose of our heart. Journey of God. We thank you, Lord God, that we've recommitted our lives to the journey. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you do me a favor and just have a seat momentarily, Mike is going to walk us through how we can bless Pastor in these first 62nd birthday. Thank you. God bless you. It was an honor to deliver the word today.